The show you're about to listen to is very old and comes with a warning. When we recorded these shows over a decade ago, the world was a different place and we were little more than children. As a result of this, you might hear a few things that by today's standards we judge to be inappropriate or offensive. Please don't be offended. In the years that have passed since recording these shows, we've all grown up to be wonderful, loving, liberal, free-thinking, open-minded individuals. If the us from over a decade ago say something to upset the you of today, please understand that we're as disgusted with ourselves as you are. But isn't this what life is all about? Learning and growing? We all said and did things in our younger days that make us cringe when we think about them. We just recorded it and put it out on the internet. With all that in mind, I hope you enjoy the show. Oh, and there's just one more thing. Don't email the show or try to enter competitions. We don't have that email anymore, and all the competitions are over. We do have a Facebook group where you're very welcome to discuss any aspects of the podcast. Please visit simplysyndicated.com for more information.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
Good evening and welcome to episode 19 of Make It So, the Star Trek podcast. And this week I'm Mike Dawson.
And I'm Richard Smith.
And first of all, before we go any further or introduce what we're going to be doing or how we're going to be doing it, etc., 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 we have to give a massive, massive, massive shout out to Cody Knox.
Who's an awesome dude.
Who's my personal hero as of right now. Now, you see, Cody kindly emailed us and said that... Given in particular Richard's lack of knowledge on Deep Space Nine, certainly recent knowledge of Deep Space Nine, he'd like to donate a Season 7 DVD box set to us for the purposes of the show.
So we could watch it and talk about it.
So we could watch Season 7 of Deep Space Nine and watch it.
We were chuffed about that.
Yeah, we were happy about that anyway. Then it turns out, I think, where we misread it was that it was actually seven seasons of Deep Space Nine, not Season 7 of Deep Space Nine. So when the package arrived 2 days ago and it said season, you know, and it was 49 DVDs of Region 2 copy of Deep Space Nine for us to keep.
Yeah. I'm blown away by
jaw ground. I couldn't believe what a tremendous, tremendous act of generosity. Thank you very much, Cody.
Thank you.
I've probably emailed you already telling you all of this by now, but I thought we'd say it on the show. And to any of our other listeners who might
if
have...
If anyone else has any Star Trek stuff they want to send.
I could do with the whole of Next Gen.
We've not got any Voyager.
Nope. No original series.
No, or no. Animated series. No. I feel quite greedy now.
Or Enterprise, yeah. So anyone who else has spare DVDs that they'd like to give to us.
But
take a page from Cody's book. No. I'm kidding, of course, but yeah, that's amazing. Thank you very much, Cody, and we will enjoy sitting and watching.
Just stunned by it.
I am stunned by it.
It's the first big thing we've ever received while podcasting.
Yes.
I know some people just get sent free shit all the time.
Yeah.
And we've never really had anything.
No. But
this is really cool.
Yes.
I'm very excited.
Yes.
So, moving on then. This week's topic is another one suggested by Phil of the Soccer Shout podcast at soccershout.com. Last week was, what was it? That was people doing as they were told.
Yeah, people getting away with shit.
People getting away with stuff. This week, we're going to be talking about rules and regulations that should perhaps be based on previous experiences of crews.
Yes.
Because, now, yeah.
It's, yeah, this is a difficult one. Because on the one hand, right, we have something that, for the villains, for example, where Star Trek is very much fond of something I like to call the Skeletor complex.
What's the Skeletor complex?
Right, the Skeletor complex is basically when I was a young child and I was watching He-Man, I used to remember watching Skeletor come up with a plan of how he would defeat He-Man, right? He'd come up with a very good idea. He'd have a brilliant plan to, you know, he'd cool down the area or something like that, you know, and cause a flood.
It would look good on paper.
It would look good on paper. And then he'd go into executing his plan, and midway through, something would happen. Somebody would do something which would blow it. could be a random occurrence, could just be an accidental thing. One of the characters would get in the way and stop him from flooding the village with, by opening the dam or something like that, hypothetically speaking. But then they wouldn't incarcerate him and they wouldn't kill him. So he'd go back to his little castle and he'd think, they blew that one. So I'm going to have to come up with a new plan this week.
Yeah.
When, in actual fact, there was nothing wrong with your plan, Skeletor. There was nothing wrong with it. All that happened was one little person got in the way at the wrong time. So why not just go back to that plan again?
Do it again.
Do it again.
And you're lucky that He-Man hasn't just come to get you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he knows where you live.
Yeah.
It's a big fucking castle.
Yeah.
How does this apply to Star Trek, Mike?
Basically, because the villains do the same thing.
Right.
Where you'd have an idea. Like, for example, we were saying the other week with the Zindi. You have a big fuck-off ball. It's going to blow up the planet.
Yeah.
And Archer manages to stop it by skin of his teeth, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how come no one else ever tried that? You know,
that's an interesting... You,
the things that led you to... Right, for starters, you sent a little ball ahead of the big ball.
That's what they did.
And cut a swab into North America, however many miles long. Okay, that was your problem. Because instantly you alerted them to your presence, so they sent someone to stop you, and they did manage to stop you in the 11th hour, etc., etc., etc. So next time, don't send the little ball first.
Just
send the big ball.
That would seem to make a great deal of sense. Do you remember what
happened
at the end, though?
Nothing wrong with the plan. You just made a little mistake.
They made friends with the Zindi in the end.
I know. The Zindi.
And then the Zindi disappeared for all throughout Star Trek history.
Yeah. But what about other aliens? Why wouldn't they just take that, you know, a leaf from the Zindi's book? And so
no one else wanted to kill us that much.
Oh, no, they did.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
I thought they'd have just done that.
Oh, the Dominion and the Borg wanted to...
Oh, that's true.
...blow up Earth.
That's true. Anyway.
Anyway. So yeah, that's the Skeletor complex, and how they never really sort of tried to do that again, and that's not really rules and regulations as such, but it is a kind of think about it, you know,
into the category of why didn't that ever happen?
Yeah, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. If there's a small problem with it, but the overall idea isn't that bad.
That's very true.
Try again. You know what I mean?
Worth a go next time.
You know what I mean?
Worth a go.
Yeah. So.
Other examples of these such things happening, things that should be changed.
Mm.
My big beef with a great deal of Star Trek technology, particularly aboard the Enterprise, it would seem.
Fuses?
No, not fuses. It was the fact that clearly the ship was capable of a lot more than it had buttons to do.
Right.
How many times was there a last-minute solution to something that was perfectly doable, except it required ripping that panel off the wall on the bridge and rewiring the entire ship?
The best one for that, I always felt, was when in Generations, Kirk... Right, this is an implausible point in the story anyway. They're on the Enterprise Enterprise Stilton, and Captain Kirk has to remodulate the deflector dish in order for them to get out of the Nexus.
Okay.
Somehow, Captain Kirk knows the internal schematics of this brand new Enterprise B and knows exactly where the computer console was, where he should go to get to do this particular function. Goes down, and it's something ridiculous. I don't know if you remember it, but like the computer panel slides out of the wall, and then so he's got to go to one of these little slidey panels, which that you assume there are millions of down this long corridor, and he picks the right one, and then he's got to pick out teeny little...
Isolinear chips. So many things depended on reconfiguring isolinear chips.
Not only that, but Captain, okay, Geordi, Chief O'Brien, Scotty, maybe they'd know how to do that. Still, the deflector dish isn't really their area of expertise, you know what I mean? Your chief engineer is more about running your other engineers and making sure all your other engineers, the engineer who knows about the deflector dish, should know about the deflector dish.
You'd have somebody assigned to it, or at least a team.
You'd have a specialist.
It's such a pivotal part of the ship.
You
really
couldn't possibly be a specialist in the engine, the deflector dish, the warp nacelles, every single element.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah. So you'd have your deflector dish supervisor, and you'd send him down to do that. But Captain Kirk knows everything about the new Enterprise that no one knows anything about.
We see the isolinear chips, I think, most frustratingly in First Contact when they go out to detach the deflector dish with the Borg on.
Yes.
They're locked in, except for if they just rearrange the isolinear chips. Now, nothing was stopping them doing that.
Mm.
Why not just have a button that does that command?
Yeah.
Why do you have to reconfigure the chips?
Not enough buttons.
Not enough buttons. For the fact that they had control panels that didn't fucking have physical buttons.
Well, the fact that they had control... Yeah, they didn't have control panels that have physical buttons. Now, in this day and age, we have a little thing. Some of you may have heard of it on computer systems. They're called windows. Basically, what a window allows you to do is have a number of different bespoke control panels for a number of different systems operating within your computer.
Yeah, they didn't have that.
Amazingly enough, in the 24th century, they've decided that this is a bad idea and you should have one key for per one function on a control panel that doesn't actually have controls.
You see, I think I just read a minute ago on either our forums or in an email that someone had said that they were clearly user-configurable control panels.
Yeah.
And I don't think they were.
No.
I mean, when they're not on, you can still see the buttons of them. And you'd sort of put that down to a trait of how they're physically made in the real world. They're clearly not touchscreen control panels. Yet, when people touch one that is off...
It lights up.
It lights up. And they're always touching a button.
Yeah.
And those buttons are always in the same place. Clearly, they aren't movable and stuff like that.
Maybe I think you did in one of the in Nemesis in particular, I think you saw a couple of instances where the control panel switched between two different windows and then opened up something else.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sure there's at least one shot of that in Nemesis at some point where something you see something appear in like a Windows-esque operating system, a Windows-based operating system. And that to me is the yeah, that's it, exactly. Why is it that all of these control panels, especially for something that happens on a regular basis, remodulating the deflector dish is something that happens a fair bit and can get them out of almost, really almost any kind of perilous situation. I'll just remodulate the deflector dish.
It's
going to take us a few hours to do it. But,
yeah.
And we have to walk down to here to this obscure console in B deck C.
Why is there not just a deflector control panel that allows you to do all the configuring you want?
Exactly.
Why is that? I don't get that. That makes no sense.
No. It always reminds me of the bit in Galaxy Quest when they've got the thumpers with the... which are
Why is this here?
Whoever wrote this is a bad fucking writer. Yeah, exactly. I mean, okay, the engine's broken... Then you remember the episode of Next Gen where they actually go into the engine?
I remember an episode of Next Gen where you see inside a nacelle.
Yeah, they go into
Is that the one you're talking about? Where there's a dead body in the wall that's been there since the Enterprise was built?
Yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah, it was quite a good one, that was. And it's like a suicide. Everyone starts getting suicidal thoughts because of this.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Is that a season 7
That's
one?
A season 7
That's why I don't remember it all that well.
Yeah.
Play.com, you are driving me fucking nuts now. I've had that on order for about a month. Season 7 of Next Gen. And it just says order taken out of stock. Amazon have fucking got it.
Mm-hmm.
And they will get my money later. That's all I can say about that.
Yep.
They deserve it if they're going to send me the damn DVD and I can get onto Deep Space Nine. We can do those episodes.
So
the other thing, some of the things we've had suggested to us are things like if the computer is malfunctioning, you might want to check the holodeck for people caught in malfunctioning programs. That happened quite a lot.
Mm.
You would think that after a little while, holodeck shutdown would become a feature of Red Alert.
Yeah, or you'd... I'd take, after a while, you'd start looking at how the Kardashians made holosuites. Or was it the Ferengi? The Ferengi put them in, I think. Because in DS9, the holosuites never affected the computer system.
No, that never happened, did it?
So obviously these are better built holodecks.
They weren't running on Windows.
They weren't running on Windows. They were running on Mac OS X. You know, they were like the Mac daddy.
Oh, it's 400 years in the future. They're running on Mac OS 4 million.
400,000.
The Kardashians use Macs. Exactly. That's it.
Kardashians use Macs and the, because, yeah, those systems never fucked with the rest of DS9's operating protocols.
Now I'm just imagining a reshoot of those Mac PC adverts with a Klingon and a Kardashian in.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC. Kapla! That'd be great. you wouldn't buy one, or maybe you would.
Yeah.
And when Windows crashed, it would just say, "Today is a good day to die," and then shut down.
I used to think about putting that on my windows. You know, you can change the sound it makes when it closes down.
So, oh, yeah. You
know, today is a good day to die.
I still need my Ralph Wiggum quotes on there.
That's oh, awesome. Yeah, I remember that.
When he says it's fun to obey the machine, that's got to be my startup sound. Then I cross a line with it then, I think.
That's... No, I used to have one with Frank Pemberton from Homicides shouting, "Son of a bitch, son of a bitch."
That was upsetting. You just walk into your room and someone would start screaming at you and it was you going out.
Yeah.
Horrible. How often did the holodeck on Next Gen actually take over things? There were a couple of Moriarty episodes.
There was a couple of Moriarty episodes. There was the...
Fistful of Datas. Now, clearly the Voyager holodeck was also running the same operating system as the Enterprise one, because that fucked up on many occasions.
A few times, didn't it, yeah.
When you're in deep space, always look out for your holodeck going wrong.
Yeah.
Mind you, they had the holographic Doctor as well.
But again, I mean, in terms of a computer, you'd be really a bit pissed off with it. You know what I mean? Okay, you're using Windows on your computer crashes, you can't use your computer. Whereas, you know, now they've exponentially made it more fucked because Windows crashes, my house explodes. You know, that's
you're living in your computer, really.
You're living in your computer. So, you know, you've got to have a good operating system going there.
I think there was actually an emergency set of pedals
for
the Enterprise, like on a push bike, that would break out of those consoles at the side that Data and Wesley were sat at. And in an absolute emergency, they start pedaling.
Well, it was all the power relay consoles, wasn't there? There was a whole load of computers with consoles of power relays, like inside dashboards at the boards at the side of the bridge, wasn't there? And they all came off.
Yeah, they all came off, but they became more computer terminals for generations.
They did on generations, but like in Next Gen, they only ever came out when the computer was fucking up massively.
Yes, they did. I don't think they did anywhere near a good enough job of explaining that bridge change for generations. Because before, everyone had a very clearly defined area to be working in, and each task that had to be done was reasonable and it made sense and logical. And then suddenly, two new people working on the bridge. What job are they doing?
Four, I think.
Four, tapping away. Oh, it never can't stop. Always tapping.
Suddenly, Worf had a chair. Why did he have a chair?
Worf always needed a chair.
Yeah, but he was fine standing.
It would have done his back in because he was always leaning forward slightly onto that control panel.
Yeah.
And after a while, bad lower back.
You can sort of see him like anytime it's the wide shot of the bridge and Patrick Stewart's fluffed his lines again or something like that, or Jonathan Frakes is having a bit of a piss around and Michael Dorn standing in the background saying, "You stop fucking around, please. My back is killing me. I want to go home. Can we get this done? Please.
Why can't I have a chair? Why? You've got a chair. He's got a chair.
Everyone's got a fucking chair.
Scotty had a chair.
Yeah.
Spock, everyone throughout history, except Worf. Worf, no chair.
No chair.
Geordi had a chair on wheels that could glide around engineering.
That's why Tasha Yar quit.
I bet it is.
Yeah. You know, I love doing the show, but my fucking back hurts.
Yeah.
Kill me off. Yeah.
And to be it. But then you'd need to have lowered that bit of the bridge a little bit.
Yeah, they did, I think.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I'm sure it's, you know, yeah, it's a bit low. I'm sure Worf had a chair in Generations, or maybe I'm just making that up.
I don't remember him having a chair, you know.
I don't know.
I just sort of went along with it to not make you feel bad.
Pretty sure. I need to watch Generations again, really. I haven't seen it in many years.
I'll lend you that.
I went to see that 7 times at the cinema.
You're shitting me.
No, it was half term or Easter when it came out, and me and my brother were really bored. And I think my parents were on holiday at the time.
Seven.
And there was nothing else on the cinema, so I just kept going back and seeing.
There must have been something on to avoid seeing Generations for the seventh time. It wasn't that good.
I loved it when I was 12, man. I fucking loved it. It was like... brilliant.
I was very disappointed with it when it came out.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how old were you? You must have been a bit older than me, 15 or so.
About 15, yeah. Something like
that.
Yeah,
I was 12. I was easily amused. That'd be the one.
It was... I just found it so empty and... There wasn't a great deal to it, I think.
When Riker says fire and blows up Lursa Base. Oh, that was brilliant. And then the ship crashes.
Oh, but that was that. Even that then, was reused special effects.
I know. Not the actual explosion, but just the actual the battle itself.
Yeah,
was quite
that was
good.
Good battle.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Minimal, little, nice. All right.
Maybe I'll watch it again. I have got it. There's a few of them I haven't watched. I've just watched four over and over and over.
Do you have the double disc edition of Generations?
Yes.
Does it have the alternative ending where Soren shoots Kirk in the back instead?
Yes.
How is it?
Pretty much the same. It's no worse or better. It's just different.
Because that was it. The test audiences said they didn't like the fact that Kirk got shot in the back by...
Yeah,
like
it's...
They wanted him dying heroically. So.
I thought his death was fucking pathetic as it was.
Mm.
To be honest, I think when Kirk died, it should have been spectacular. It should have been... It should have been in the same way, along the same lines that Data died.
Yeah.
Data died, saving everyone, massive explosion.
Yeah.
That
Spock
was it.
Spock died, killing, saving himself.
Fell off the bridge.
Yeah.
And he didn't really appear to fall all that far, to be perfectly honest.
No.
And I was very disappointed with his death.
Oh, it's a big fall.
Was it a big fall?
It's a big fall. He's strapped to the metal structure and it does a fucking spin at one point.
It looks quite good.
It was quite impressive, but it was what he was dying for, which is actually ridiculous because if you actually go back and look at Generations, he dies to save 240 million people on a planet solar system that we've never really heard of before and we'll never hear of again, but he saves 240 million lives. But because they're not people we care about, and
it doesn't matter to
and
us.
It almost seems like a downgrade, 240 million. He saved billions of people in Star Trek 1.
Yes, he did, didn't he?
He got to weigh up the odds. What is Kirk's life worth?
I can't answer that question.
After you saved all humanity for the fourth time, 240 million lives for yours doesn't really seem like a fair trade-off. I don't know.
Fair enough. I just think he should have died in a massive explosion. Or something like that. Or taking someone with him.
Well, the problem is, he saved... he was out of context, which was the other problem. Kirk dying to save his crew and everything would have been really good. But the fact that, they had to do this whole passing the torch nonsense, we have to have Picard and Kirk meet, and the only way we can do that is...
Not good.
Not good, no. Never mind. Anyway, we digress massively.
We do digress. Other rules to apply. Counselor Troy must not be allowed to fly the ship under any circumstances whatsoever.
Yeah.
That's just a given. There's not really a lot to say about that one.
If somebody flirts with you or comes on to you who ordinarily wouldn't, chances are they've been possessed by an alien.
That's very true.
In fact, as I think I was saying to you earlier, there's not much sex going on in Star Trek early on that isn't... influenced by alien possession of some kind. It's almost like it was the TV friendly thing, wasn't it? The characters are having sex,
but they don't mean to.
They've kind of accidentally had sex because they're under the influence of this alien being.
Yeah,
they're not normal. They've just done it this one time, but they don't always have sex.
Except Riker, who always has sex.
Yeah, but you never really see him have sex. It was always copping off and falling away.
Yeah, someone wrote on the forum about when Tasha Yar had sex with Data. Have we talked about that?
No, we haven't talked about that.
We won't go back over that then.
Hmm.
I've just lost my train of thought and distracted myself with the Data thing.
So yeah, if someone is offering you sex, then get them to the doctors and get them checked out.
Generally, when people are explaining anything weird to you, it's better to believe them than not.
Like parallels. Yeah.
And again, in All Good Things and stuff like that. It's all about the convincing.
They're not actually nuts. They're probably right.
Given all you've been through, all the adventures you've had over the last 7 series that we've watched, does it not make more sense that Worf is probably moving between parallel universes rather than he's just suddenly lost it?
Yeah.
After all you've been through, he didn't just snap.
No.
So investigate the parallel universe thing. Yeah. Always, always, always. That's generally... That's part of TV, though. That's the walking backwards into the dark room. That's what that is.
They can't believe it. They have to have the investigation. Otherwise, if it's just, oh, yeah, well, it actually sounds to me like you're switching between parallel universes. Well, all right, well, what can we do about it? Well, this and this and this, we can try that. All right, okay, that's it. And then you have a 20-minute episode and it's no fun.
That's if you kill the baddie first time.
Exactly.
That sort of thing. That's why best-laid plans don't work.
Yeah.
It would be too easy that way.
Yeah. Never trust a Romulan.
Oh, God, never trust a Romulan.
No.
Well, no, never. It's not worth it.
No, it's not worth it.
Their ships are massive, though. Yeah. Massive. Yeah. I'm still quite stunned by finding out how big they actually were. Yeah. Though, to be fair, there's not a lot to them.
No.
They're mainly space.
Mainly space.
Big climbing frame, really. Big scaffolding with a big head.
Just a big hole.
Yeah.
You'd want to see one of them land. I always wanted to see more of them, like, crash landing onto planets and stuff like that, because they're big fucking things. You know what I mean? They're not going to burn up in the atmosphere. They're huge. Mm. So, you know, those sort of things. Like, you know, the Voyager landing, that was always a bit shit.
I thought that was quite impressive the first time.
Yeah.
And then they kept doing it, and you eventually thought, the reason why this is so bad is the same reason you only really separated the saucer section of the Enterprise once or twice.
Hmm.
Whereas you did it once and it looked pretty good. Then you did it twice and you thought, looks the same.
Hmm.
Don't do it again.
It was the same effect shot. I mean, that's the thing. With more money, the saucer separation could have looked mint if they'd done, like, just more clever stuff with it. Like, say, when they're separating at warp or something like that. And
when did they do that? They did that once, didn't they?
Yeah, they did it in, I think they did it in Counter at Farpoint. They separated the warp and then the Enterprise went back, you know, swung around and went back towards the cue ball. But why not do it so they separate and then instantly the star drive section drops out of warp? That would look impressive. So
that'd be so cool.
You know, just things like that. And, you know, do it from the top. They always did it from the side or below. And, like, you know, I want to see it from the top and, like, the big gap, you know, just different angles on things that they never really did.
No, the best angle work on the models was probably the one with Kelsey Grammer, Cause and Effect.
Yeah.
Every time it blew, it was a different angle, and they always look great.
Yeah.
I do like that episode. That's got to be one of my favourites. Kelsey Grammer. Bless him. Fraser Crane. Lost in time.
Lost in time. Like bless him.
Bless him.
Bless him. There's a few people like that. Okay.
There should be a quick way to get control back of the ship when Data takes over it.
Yeah, you would have a Data button, wouldn't you? You'd have a...
Again, not enough buttons, I think, is very much a theme we've got here. Simple, straightforward things.
Yeah.
Buttons, seatbelts, as made fun of in the alternative ending of Nemesis. Mm-hmm. If you've never seen that, that's worth a chuckle.
Yeah.
It's probably on YouTube, I bet. Everything's on YouTube.
Nemesis is on YouTube.
Fuses. The other obvious one.
Toilets.
They never talked about toilets. That was always the other big joke. You never saw one.
Well, there was never anything domestic or... It was all, again, it harks back to this family-friendly thing. Like, you know, you never saw a man or a woman going down to Dr. Crush to get the pill or something, you know, or just an injection. I need my injection for this week, sorry.
Yeah. You see, in order to see the toilet, you'd need to, I don't know.
Yeah.
There was never anything really relative to a Star Trek plot that would have involved going to the toilet.
I don't know, Commander Riker and Worf just having a chat and...
Nipping off to the bog together.
Nipping off. Well, no, just a chat at the bogs. I mean, that's
like... Do you think there'd be a communal toilet?
Yeah, it'd be communal toilets for... maybe it's Paul Van Hoven sort of... Verhoeven kind of future where they all share the same toilets and shower rooms and everything.
I don't know. I always thought Picard had his own one in his ready room just round that corner by his replicator. The door to it was opposite his replicator in that little alcove.
Yeah.
And you'd have to have one, a general bridge crew one.
Yeah.
And then one in everybody's bedroom. But they clearly weren't there.
Mm.
They clearly weren't there. Maybe people don't poo or wee in the 24th century.
Mm.
Again, now that's something to think about with regards to the transporter usage.
Mm.
Rather than you have a mini transporter built into your bottom...
Maybe that's what they did.
They all have universal translators built into their heads.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how that apparently works.
Yeah.
And so why not have a mini transporter in your bottom? Maybe it will charge up off a battery that you charge with kinetic energy like those Seiko watches.
Mm.
So as you're walking around and your arse jiggles about, you charge up your kinetic energy, transporter. Yeah. And then when it detects you need a poo, it just transports the poo away.
Yeah.
Or maybe just turns it into energy and uses it for something else.
Next gen only one here as well. If something's really buggering up the... next gen and DS9. In fact, any of them really. If something's buggering up the computer system, then check Geordi's visor. Usually Geordi's visor. Something's happening with that little tiny piece of equipment that should be pretty much used by everyone. And yeah, you know, I always wanted to see a white woman walking around with one though. Just in particular, a white woman I thought would have been interesting just to
with
see.
With a visor.
With a visor. Because it would have looked wrong. Because I remember there's one episode when Picard goes in for surgery and there's another black dude behind who's operating on Picard and he's got a red visor.
I thought that was like a medical thing though.
No, I thought it was just another blind black guy.
You never saw
another blind person.
Visors.
No. Geordi is the only blind person in the galaxy.
Really?
Well, no. But I mean, you'd see another one. In all of Star Trek, you must have seen, there must be another person. Now, I just imagine someone else walking around with a visor and you think, what the hell's that on her? Oh, yeah.
But, hey, now, am I right in thinking that Geordi was offered the implants way earlier than he actually got them?
Maybe.
And so maybe all the visor people moved on to contact visors.
Yeah, maybe. That was right, because he didn't want to lose the extra sensory perception that he got with the visor. Yeah, he could see heat and stuff like that, couldn't he? But they never really capitalized on that. It's just like, you know, you'd want Geordi to walk into a room and then turn around and there's someone hiding behind the wall ready to attack him.
And he can see them.
They never did that.
That would have been good. They never thought of that.
Geordi never really got much, you know, there was like the one episode when he could see a tachyon beam that Wesley sent down or something like that to help him. And there was a couple of ones in the early seasons, but like what a massive advantage that gave Geordi, like, you know, to be able to see that kind of shit.
Oh, in First Contact, he used his eyes to zoom in on Zefram Cochrane.
But they should have used that more. They should have done that more.
They should definitely have used that more. I totally agree with you. Yeah. Geordi was, in retrospect, Geordi was one of the wettest characters in Next Gen.
Yeah, he was.
He was always there, but so little actually happened to him.
Mm.
There would be an occasional Geordi episode, and some of them were quite good. I don't mind Geordi as a character in the slightest, don't get me wrong, but he was by far the least interesting. If he was in The Simpsons, he'd be Lenny.
Yeah.
That sort of thing, yeah. I think.
Well, he did get a few, but anyway.
He never got laid. In 7 years, he never got laid.
No.
He just got knocked back. We had many episodes about how Geordi was knocked back. In contrast, we had many episodes about how Riker yet again shagged someone he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
So, if we ever meet LeVar Burton, We'll ask him about that.
Yeah, what was going on there?
I was talking about it with Alison the other night about things we could add to this show to take it beyond where we are, add a bit of something different. And, of course, the going to conventions, trying to get interviews with people, that sort of thing comes up. And then I just, what do I actually have to say to any of them, apart from asking them really horrible, awkward questions about Star Trek? Do you remember in this episode when you did this? No, that's just a character. Mm. My real name's Brent Spanner.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were all the characters on the holodeck and you tried to... No, that wasn't Data. Yeah, I remember, but, you know, just be horrible.
Yeah.
But then I thought, you know, you'd have to ask them questions like, how do you feel about the fact that Geordi was the only one that never got his end away?
Yeah.
Even Data got laid.
Yeah.
Several times.
The fucking robot got laid a couple of times.
You nothing.
Mm.
Nothing. Even Wesley got laid.
Yeah.
Ashley Judd. You got Ashley Judd.
You got Ashley fucking Judd, man.
And you got no one, dude. Yep. That's horrible.
We digress again massively here.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all Star Trekky.
It's all good. What was I going to say? There was another one I was thinking of. Warp core. The warp core ejection system. The most unreliable system.
Oh, yeah, the thing that would never work.
In the history of computers, do you think it actually ever really existed? Or was it something that Geordi just like, you know, Picard came down, I can just see it now, like Picard and Geordi are walking through the Enterprise, it's his first time. And Picard says, all right, so this is the warp core. And he says, yeah, what would happen if this was to actually explode? You know, something went wrong. And it's like, well, it destroyed the ship, Captain. It's like, well, is there some way we can get around this? I mean, if like if it was going to explode imminently, is it, don't worry, sir. There's an injection system. It'll just chuck the engine out if it's about to blow up. Brilliant, brilliant. Walks away and Geordi turns to another engineer and just like, that's fucking hell. Hope that never happens. There's no ejection system.
We never thought of that. What if it goes wrong?
Fuck. What are we going to do?
Because it never fucking worked.
It worked in Insurrection.
It also worked on Voyager. I remember there was an they ejected their warp core a couple of times.
Did they now?
Yeah.
How did they get it back?
They occasionally went back to fetch it.
Right.
I'm not kidding. I can't remember the situation.
It blew up?
No, it didn't blow up in the end, I think. I need to watch Voyager again.
Yeah,
I need
to watch Voyager again.
But, yeah.
It was always the effect shot you wanted, apparently. Like, they never did the effect shot. Because I always wanted to see the warp engine just go.
No, they did that in Voyager. That was done in Voyager.
Did they?
Yes. The external warp core flying out of the bottom of the ship thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember if they did it from the inside as well.
Because they did it for Insurrection from the out. Because I wanted to see it in the inside. I wanted to just see the warp core just suddenly go.
Just flying down through the floor.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
But they never did it in. They did it in Insurrection, and they actually did the effect shot in Insurrection. But because they wanted to have the line where Riker turns to Geordi and says, "Geordi, inject the core." And he says, "I just did." You know, and it's like Geordi's little cool moment in the film. Again, they had to fight to give Geordi a cool moment, didn't they?
It was, yeah, crowbarred in there.
Crowbarred in there,
a great cool moment, because if I had a chief engineer who was supposed to be as good as Geordi and he needed telling to eject the core.
Yeah.
He stood looking at it. He needs to tell me that it's about to blow up and needs ejecting.
Yeah.
And if you need to tell me it needs ejecting, just eject it.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
Yeah.
There's your rule. If you need to be telling me that needs ejecting, just do it.
Just get rid of it.
And then let me know you did it.
Yeah.
We were going to die, but it's fine. I ejected the core. Thank God we didn't waste precious seconds with you telling me and then me telling you to do that.
Well, there's a lot of things like that. There's never any pace to their actions, is there? The pacing in Star Trek's very plodding. I mean, like the one we were just watching a second ago, we were watching Shattered Mirror, which is a Star Trek Deep Space Nine Series 4 episode where there's a battle in the Mirror universe, and they've created a Defiant, and they're fighting the Klingons and the Cardassians. And midway through the attack, they're being blasted from all sides. They're attacking this Klingon ship, and Sisko says, "I'm taking the helm," and then takes the moment to explain to Chief O'Brien that it's nothing personal. He just knows the control systems better than he does. And he says, "Okay, no problem, Captain. Get into the seat." They swap places, and then Sisko leads on with the attack.
Mm-hmm.
No time for that. It's get out of the fucking chair.
You're in a battle.
Get out of the chair. I don't have time to explain to you how it's not personal, the fact that I know this shit better than you do. You know, just get out of the fucking chair.
Explosions do stop for conversation. That's true.
That is true.
The way
as well
to survive any attack is to keep talking.
Have you ever noticed as well that the turbo lift journey from bridge to engineering takes just as long as the conversation?
Every turbo
Every
lift
single
journey takes
turbo
as
lift.
Long as your conversation.
It never takes, you know, it never takes exactly 2.3 seconds to get from bridge to engineering or something like that. You know, it can be 5 seconds or it can be 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Depending on how long the conversation is going to run for. Occasionally, if it's a long conversation, they'll say hold. But most of the time, the conversation runs perfectly in conjunction with the time it takes to get from one place to the other.
Which one? Is it Star Trek 2? Who the hell was holding up the elevator?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I always said that whenever they say hold, there's someone on another
deck.
I've got Dawson disease. There's someone on another deck looking at his watch going, "Where's this fucking turbo lift?"
Yeah.
And in Star Trek 2, it was Dr. McCoy.
Yeah. Who's holding the goddamn elevator?
Kirstie Alley in a big bushy hair.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be her character throughout all the Star Trek films. She was supposed to be her in Star Trek 3 and 6.
Yeah.
And she got fat.
Well, no, it was supposed to be her in 3, 4, and 6, yeah, but they recast her. She didn't want to do it, apparently. So they recast her with Robin, whatever her name was, who wasn't as good, actually. I liked
they changed the name, though,
better.
Didn't they?
No, it was the same character.
Are you sure it was the same character? I always got the feeling it was... Kim Cattrall's character in 6 was definitely a different character.
Yeah, that's Lieutenant Valaris.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's they all begin with fucking S, don't they? Savick. Is it Savick?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Savick. Mr. Savick?
You see, that was weird. Why do they have the rule of calling everybody Mr.?
Mister. Yeah, that was odd. I never really got that.
Surely rank. Private Savick. Private. Ensign Savick. Ensign, Lieutenant, whatever.
Lieutenant, yeah. Not
because there's
Mr.
no... Well, they do. Yeah, Picard will say Mr. Worf, Mr. LaForge, Mr. Yeah. Data. Never so, Mr. Riker.
No.
Never Mr. Troy or Mr. No. Mr. Crusher when referring to Beverly.
No.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
But then never Mrs. or Miss.
No.
Double standard. You see, they'd be up for all sorts of political correctness bullshit in the workplace.
Yep.
That's what they need rules for.
Mm.
Health and safety.
Health and safety, fucking hell. Fuses in the consoles, honestly.
Every console blows up all the time. Yeah. Stop making consoles that blow up. If my computer crashes, my keyboard doesn't explode in my face.
Mm.
That would be horrid.
Well, more than that, look, we were talking about people getting away with shit last week. I was thinking another one. How many of fucking Worf's men died over the years? How many of his security officers were killed in action?
Most of them.
Most of them. You know what I mean? You wouldn't work for Worf.
That's Star Trek lore, though.
Yeah, I know, but again, how much fucking paperwork? You know what I mean? Yes, Officer Davis died last week. Yes, he went there under my orders.
He died
to prove how serious the situation was to me so that I could survive.
You see, this is just something that happens throughout telly. When watching this week's 24, when Jack Bauer angrily said, "Now half my team is dead," I thought, why do you only care now, Jack? Because every man that stood within 100 feet of you in every other episode this season is dead.
Yeah.
Why this team? Last week, you had 2 teams with you, and they were both killed.
Yeah.
Not much remorse there.
No.
Same thing.
No.
The paperwork. My God, the paperwork.
Yeah. That's all Jack does in between seasons of 24.
Paperwork. It's what the Chinese were doing to him.
Yeah. Well, now, Mr. Barrow, we've got to ask you some questions about this. So what happened at this time? You know, exactly. That's it. There's only so much of a gap between day 1 and 2 in 24 because he had to fill out so much paperwork about the 24 people he killed that day.
See, I imagine that when the Chinese got him into their secret prison, he's like ready for the torture and they sit him down at a table and one of them pulls out a pen. And he's like, "What are you going to do to me with that pen?" And he just looks at him and goes, "Make you do every piece of paperwork you should have done for the last 4 years." It's what that scarring on his hand is.
Writing so much.
Writer's cramp. Bureaucracy. Extreme writer's cramp. And Worf had the same thing to deal with.
Yeah.
And many other things on their little pads that always work with just your thumb.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
There was never any clear data input method in Star Trek. I thought that was always a technical issue. Maybe there is a clear way. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, I think we've pretty much done this one, you know. This is a longer episode.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Because we're less tired. We're doing this early today.
Well, we've been busy doing other more important things that I've previously said I'm not allowed to talk about.
So you're not allowed to talk about them.
I'm allowed to talk about how I'm not allowed to talk about them.
But you're not allowed to talk about them?
No.
Right. Okay. Right, well, I hope you've enjoyed this show. Once again, big thanks to Cody Knox. I can't really say that enough. Anytime we talk about Deep Space Nine, I feel like we should say it's sponsored by Cody Knox. Yeah.
We'll do him a jingle.
Yeah.
It's
time to talk about Deep Space Nine. Cody Knox.
Cody Knox gives you Deep Space Nine. Bing.
Brilliant.
Great. That's it.
Brilliant.
Please go and vote for us on Podcast Alley.
Dig if you're a Dig user.
Yes, please dig away on Dig. Also, go and check out our other shows. We've got The Definitive Word with Will Tristram. There's another 2 weeks of you and me on that one.
Yes, there is.
So that's good. That's a nice way of easing yourself into it, I think, if you're a Make It So fan.
Yeah, and you can listen to us.
Yeah.
It's familiar. familiar voices.
Great way of doing it. We've also got, oh, do you think that's just bollocks, which I am loving the arse of doing at the moment. It's brilliant. Now we're doing call in if you've got something to rant about, and people call in and leave me these bizarre, frightening messages on the answer phone.
A bit like, what grinds your gears?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grind your gears with me.
Grind your gears with Rich.
Great fun. And, of course, movies you should see.
And weekend watches.
So,
yeah, tune into those and listen to those. You can find them all on www.simplysyndicated.com. And all of those under Simply Here.
Yes. We should also say we've got the forums. Go and check those out.
Yes.
If you've got anything you'd like us to talk about, any good ideas, anything like that,
yes,
email us, make it so at simplysyndicated.com.
An appeal, please. Because as much as Richard and I can talk about Star Trek until the cows come home with their drunken follies, the problem we have is actually coming up with stuff to talk about, which is odd.
Well, it's the problem with the fact that we're not trying to just talk about Star Trek in general. We're trying to confine it to a particular topic.
Yeah, we've kind of gone off on one, this one. So we're appealing to you. We need your help. We need you to come up with some ideas.
We just need help.
We just
what
need
do
help.
You want?
We need help. We need people to tell us what to talk about. So we don't want to tell you, you know, we don't want you to tell
this
us.
This is the laziest podcast in the world.
It is so lazy. It's just like, well, what do you want to hear us talk about?
If you want to come on our show and take our places for a week.
Yeah.
But still say that you called Richard Smith and Mark Dawson, then
let us know.
Yeah.
So just any ideas that you have for shows, then please let us know, or talk to us on the forum about Star Trek.
You can call in to Skype and leave an audio comment, or just a message in general for us. The web, I don't know the number off the top of my head. 01212869206. That's the number. Learnt it now.
You've learnt the number.
Jesus.
That's the first time you've learnt a phone number in 10 years.
Yeah, it is as well. I know my own mobile and that number. I don't even know my girlfriend's number or the home number of where I live. I don't know my own home number.
That's bad. I didn't know my home number. That's why I got rid of it.
I don't know the area code I live in.
Really?
No. Would I dial it?
It's 015 something, I think.
I think it's 01535 now you've said that.
Yeah.
This is a rat hole.
This is.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Monday.
Over and out.
New from Simply Syndicated, the definitive word, with me, Will Tristram. Join me and my various guests as we wax lyrical and attempt to broaden your minds as we stumble through our journey through the 21st century society and culture. Find us at simplysyndicated.com/thedefinitiveword or on our audio channel, Simply Here, at simplysyndicated.com/simplyhere.